Good morning and welcome to Worship with Greystone Online. Greystone is a place where all are welcome. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. We believe that there is a place for you to belong here, and we're glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we're so glad that you've decided to join us. And we want to know a little bit more about you. So feel free to reach out to us on one of our social media channels. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, and on YouTube. Or you could visit our church website at www.greystonechurch.org. And there you can find email addresses for our staff where you can say hello, let us know that you worshiped with us, and tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life. We would love to share with you the journeys of life and faith. Today, as we prepare to worship God together, we are very aware that the season of Lent begins on Wednesday of this week, a day called Ash Wednesday, when we'll smear ashes on our foreheads in the shape of a cross, reminding us of our humanity, our frailty, and our fragility in light of God's divinity. So looking in that mirror is a little bit humbling at times. We become aware of all of our imperfections, all of our brokenness. And we can tend towards shame in those moments. But today, I believe that the epistle to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians, has a good word for us. A word that reminds us that it is okay to bring all of our brokenness before God. And a belief that somehow God might even use those broken places to work through us and to shine the light of Christ even in our darkness. As we prepare to worship God today, let us go to God in prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Remind us today of your deep love for us, no matter what we have done, no matter who we have become. Remind us that there is enough forgiveness, there is enough grace, there is enough mercy within your heart to forgive us, to accept us, and to love us through whatever season of life we are in. And so God, as we prepare to worship you today, we ask that you draw near to us and draw us near to you, that we might be one, that you might unite us with one another, with sisters and brothers in Christ, and that you might draw us closer to your heart. Teach us how to love and to forgive in the same ways that you have loved and forgiven us. In your grace and in your mercy, O God, we worship you this day. Amen.
Sing holy. so good to see you. When I was your age, I learned a song called This Little Light of Mine. Have you ever heard that song before? I bet you have. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I loved that song when I was a little girl. When I first learned it, I kind of wondered what it meant. When I was a little kid, I would hold my finger up like this and pretend like it was a candle with a flame on top of it. And I kind of wondered, does that mean that to let my light shine, do I need to take a candle around with me everywhere I go? That seems kind of dangerous. Well, maybe I should take a flashlight instead. That's not right either, is it? No. When we say, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, it really means that we are going to have love with us everywhere we go. We are going to share our light, the light of love, the light of Christ, the light of Jesus. We're going to show that light through loving actions and loving words. We're going to wave at people and we're going to say hello and we're going to smile. Yes, even with your mask on, we're going to smile. You can see a smile in your eyes. We're going to be kind to people and use kind words, and we're going to be helpers and help people. When we see something that we can do or hear about someone who needs a little help, we're going to let our light shine by doing just that. I bet you can think of all kinds of ways to let your light shine. I love this book. It talks about letting your light shine just like the song. But that book reminds me that we can let our light shine in the morning, we can let our light shine at night, we can let our light shine on the playground and in the classroom and inside our homes. And when we go out in our neighborhood, there are lots of ways and lots of places where we can let our light shine. I am so excited that some of my friends are going to sing This Little Light of Mine for you. Let's listen together.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of shine, oh, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Pray together. Loving Creator, we come to you with the awareness that we are broken people in a broken world. But how often we exaggerate the imperfections of others, overlooking the fact that it is our own brokenness that causes us to do so. Ideals of unity and coming together in a fractured society seem unrealistic when we focus on the imperfections of the other without being accountable for our own. God, of course, we all want to make this world a better place, one where we and all of our neighbors are drawn together in one communion of love. But clearly we don't know how to get there. Especially in this continued time of physical isolation and political division, it seems we are actively giving in to disintegrating forces rather than choosing to become more unified. Even our decisions about how to come back together and heal keep pushing us further apart. Merciful giver of truth and light, forgive us for the ways in which each of us act as hypocrites, and help us remove the veil that keeps us from knowing you. We pray for the humility and the discipline to accept, examine, and truly work through our own imperfections, while we offer others the grace and the space to do the same. Grant us eyes to see that we are all improvising, and give us the flexibility and the courage to do so in such a way that draws on your light and shines it in the world. Rather than seeking perfection, let us look for opportunities to adjust and harmonize with new and changing relationships and circumstances. Grant us peace through the necessary dissonance we encounter on your way, and give us the creativity and perseverance to find new ways of resolving these tensions with your love, which is always transforming and making new. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, and out of the darkness of our collective anxiety, illumine us so that we might recognize that our imperfections and those of our neighbors can become opportunities to connect through the common humanity and dignity we share as your image in this world. God, grant us the fearless love and the deep compassion to carry your light in the world. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.
I will be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, from the New Revised Standard Version. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
John Lasseter is an American film director, producer, screenwriter, and animator who has worked as the chief creative officer for studios like Pixar and Walt Disney Animation. He's also worked for Disney Toon Studios, as well as being the principal creative advisor for Walt Disney Imagineering. He was born and raised in L.A., where his mother was an art teacher and his father a parts manager at a Chevrolet dealership. And of growing up in L.A., Lasseter says that anyone who was born and raised there has a sort of ingrained love for cars, and he himself is no different. As a young boy, his favorite season of the year was late summer when school was starting back and all the car dealerships were beginning to unveil their new models. He remembers the glass of the dealership where his father worked being painted in white in order to conceal the new designs until the much anticipated moment of reveal. The new models for Lasseter had kind of a certain energy about them that captivated him more than anything that was happening at school. As he grew older, he got a job working in the parts department with his dad, and he got to see all kinds of cars come in for repairs and maintenance. And it was in that parts department where his love grew into a lifelong fascination. which eventually led him to the creation of the blockbuster digitally animated film Cars. The film debuted at Lowe's Motor Speedway in Concord, North Carolina in May of 2006. Many of you may remember that. Some of you may have even been there. It ultimately grossed over $462 million in worldwide sales. It was nominated for several Academy Awards, and its success launched a multimedia franchise with sequels and spin-offs that were produced by Disney Toon Studios. If you haven't seen the movie yet, you really need to see it. In 2006, Lasseter spoke with Michelle Norris on National Public Radio. She commented on the amazing photorealism of the film, which was created entirely by computers. "The cars glisten," Norris said. "It looks like we're seeing photography, not computer animation. With everything that you can do with computer-generated animation, is there still anything that you cannot do? Are there still any limitations?" "Absolutely," Lasseter responded in the interview. "A simple rule of thumb. The more organic something is in the way that it looks or the way that it moves, the harder it is to create it with a computer. The computer, you know, it likes things to be perfectly geometric, perfectly clean. It can do that really easily. But the more you look like something we see in the world, the harder it is to recreate it with a computer. In fact, every single frame of that feature-length film took an average of 17 hours to create. 17 hours. That's quite an investment of time to create an animated film trying to recreate something as perfectly imperfect as a rusty bumper on an old Dodge van. There is something comforting, though, about the extensive attempts of even the best and most richly resourced filmmakers struggling to replicate something that seems so effortlessly beautiful when we find them out in the real world. It's easy to imagine that with all the money and the staff and the technology companies like Pixar and Disney have at their disposal, creating a perfect product, a perfect film, would be a piece of cake. But here, we learn from Lasseter himself that there's always room for improvement. There is no perfect film. It is a grace-filled realization for so many of us who spend our days chasing after perfection. Whether we are searching for the perfect job, the perfect spouse, the perfect children, the perfect body, the perfect vacation, the perfect house, the idea that we could ever get it all right draws us in and consumes our thoughts. The lure of perfection can motivate us and help us to accomplish our most ambitious goals. But there is also a shadow side of our attempts to be perfect. On the backside of our successes, we can be brutally hard on ourselves and on everyone around us, acting out in anger and frustration when things fall short of our impossible goals. We can trap ourselves in cycles of shame, insisting that we are unworthy of love and that we will never belong because we have fallen short of the impossible goal of perfection. Many of us may be experiencing some of this right now, as our pandemic productivity and motivation have diminished, and our daily routines have us confined to our homes for work, for school, for play, and just downtime. Sometimes our ideas about the perfect people we want to be keep us from trying anything new, because we're afraid that we might not get it right. We're afraid that we might fail. When we're young, this kind of fear keeps us from trying out for the sports team or applying to that reach school. We'd rather shield ourselves from the disappointment of rejection and failure. Sure, as adults, we've grown out of those specific situations, but the fear of failure and the shame of our imperfections, that never goes away. There is another kind of perfectionism that we have to contend with as well. It is a theological one. Theological perfectionism makes faithful people and decent churches pretend that they have all the answers, that they know everything there is to know about God, that their doctrines and their practices are right, while everyone who knows God to be a little bit different or who worships God in a different style must be wrong. In these kinds of environments, fear and shame can run rampant, while authenticity and that holy creativity are really nowhere to be found. What's more, when the church falls into this way of being, there's no room for honesty. There's no room for curiosity. There's no room for doubt. There is no room for brokenness, and really, there's no room for our own humanity. The poet Robert Drake says that to be human is to be broken. It sounds a little bit like what Paul is saying when he writes the words to the Corinthian church, reminding them that our human bodies are like clay vessels, and they can easily be broken, crushed, shattered. Drake finishes the thought saying to be human is to be broken, and broken is its own kind of beautiful. And Paul concludes that despite our human frailty and fragility, we can still bear witness to the light of Christ that shines through us. Our brokenness can be made beautiful. While we don't get to know the whole story about what's happening in Corinth to cause Paul to write that letter, there are some clues within the two letters that we do have that tell us that in Paul's absence, there have been some other preachers that have come through, some other apostles who are there promoting an easier, a simpler, and perhaps a happier gospel. Notably, one that didn't have room for things like doubt and struggle. It didn't have room for persecution and suffering, one that was perhaps an ancient version of the contemporary prosperity gospel that lures so many today. But Paul is clear about where he stands, saying that the God of this world has blinded their minds and kept them from seeing the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, who is the image of God. For Paul, the gospel of Christ could not exist without struggle and suffering. That was why when he refers to Jesus, he always says, Jesus is the crucified one. For Paul, resurrection was only possible after the cross. And so to live in Christ was also to bear the cross of Christ. You can't have one without the other. For Paul, it was precisely in those situations of suffering and struggle that the light of Christ really does begin to shine through the cracks. Struggle and suffering provided those very cracks in the clay pots through which that light could begin to come through. In this letter to Paul, in this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he's quick to remind his church that we are just the vessel. Just the vessels through which Christ's light shines. And we are not ever to confuse ourselves with the light itself. In other words, the good news that we proclaim with our lives in good times and in moments of struggle and despair, it's not about how perfect we are or how strong we are or how much we have it all together. But the good news that we proclaim is about the light within. The light that Christ shines through us, sometimes even through the brokenness and imperfection that we want so badly to hide or to cover up. This Wednesday, we begin the season of Lent, which is a period of time set aside for us to remember our limitations, our imperfections, our brokenness, our very humanity. Taking that kind of honest look in the mirror can be really scary. especially in years like this one. Maybe we have grown a little more angry or short-tempered. Maybe we've grown restless and lost our sense of focus or purpose for our lives. Maybe we've lost someone we loved. Maybe everything has changed. Maybe we've gotten bored or disenchanted with online church and online meetings and online social lives, and we're starting to disconnect. Maybe we've begun to lose a little bit of our faith. And maybe that has us worried about coming back, being honest about how we've really been, and vulnerably exposing all of those imperfections. When John Lasseter talks about creating a digitally animated movie, like Cars or A Bug's Life, another classic he was involved in, he talks about how hard it is to use a computer to create something that is perfectly imperfect. It's easy to create a perfectly proportioned insect or a classic hot rod with shiny rims. What is not so easy, however, is to show how an ant moves and walks with nuance and individuality in a row of millions of others that are similar, but not exactly the same. What is not so easy is to place that tiny speck of rust in just the right spot on the bottom of the bumper in such a way that people actually believe that car has been driven on a real road. These tiny imperfections are what brings animation to life. They are the flaws that make the story believable, approachable, relatable. They make it real. And I think our Christian life is exactly the same. We could spend countless hours and insane amounts of money trying to reach the unattainable goals of perfection. Perfect faith, perfect family, perfect home, perfect job, perfect life, maybe even perfect church. But I've got to tell you, I don't think any of those things reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe God knew exactly what God was doing in calling the church the body of Christ. We are inherently broken because we are made up of broken and flawed human beings. We're made up of people who are sinful, who are grieving, who are broken, who are messy, and who are absolutely and utterly imperfect. But through all of those imperfections, the light of Christ, the fully unveiled gospel, shines through all our darkness. You know, it's funny in a way. Paul never explicitly says what he means by the God of this world. He never assigns it one specific thing. Is it greed? Is it lust? Is it selfishness or prejudice? Is it hatred or contempt? We don't know. And I kind of like that. Because when the category remains open, we can allow the text to speak to us differently each and every time we come to it. So today, I wonder if the God of this world that's keeping us veiled from the light of Christ isn't our love of perfection. What if the lure and appeal of the perfect fill-in-the-blank prevents us from seeing and sharing the fullest revelation of God that shines through even our darkness? In his book, A Farewell to Arms, Ernest Hemingway writes the following: "The world breaks everyone, and afterward, many are strong at the broken places. But those that will not break, it kills. It kills the very good and the very gentle and the very brave impartially. Many are strong at the broken places, but those that will not break, it kills." What a tragically beautiful and yet empowering idea for the Church of Jesus Christ in this day and time. We are all broken people, living in an incredibly broken time, vulnerably waking up to problems for which there seem to be no solutions, and yet trying somehow to reflect the light of Christ in our world. In times like these, times of trial and times of struggle, we may wish to be strong but feel utterly helpless. And so we turn to one another, remembering that we alone, by ourselves, are not the body of Christ, but that we together are the body of Christ in this world. Strong in all the broken places. Broken, yet resurrected. Perfectly imperfect, and ready to welcome all who come in search of strength and in search of healing. Not because of any power we have on our own, but because of Christ's light that somehow, some way, by God's own grace and mercy, finds a way to shine through. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people. Light for the world to see. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church. Gather to.
Longing for peace, our world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church. Gather today.
Longing for food, many are hungry. Longing for water, many still thirst. Make us your bread, broken for others. Shed until all are fed.
Longing for shelter, many are homeless. Longing for warmth, many are cold. Make us your building, sheltering others. Walls made of living stone. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the dark. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church. Gather today.
Many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong. Let us be servants to one another, making your kingdom.
Christ, be our light.
thank you for worshiping with us this morning as we have explored themes of perfection and brokenness. I hope that this time of worship has provided a little bit of grace and a little bit of respite for the journey. As we end our time together this morning, we want to make you aware of a couple of ways that you can connect with our community, that you can continue to worship with us during this season of social distancing because of COVID-19. First, we want you to know that next week at 4 p.m. on Zoom, the Leadership Council will meet. That'll be Sunday, the 21st at 4 p.m. So if you are a chair of a committee or a leader of a team or a congregant who wants to be involved in the leadership of this congregation, you're welcome to join us at Zoom at 4 o'clock next Sunday. Also, as mentioned earlier in the service, this week we begin the season of Lent, and that begins with Ash Wednesday, a service in which we share the communion of the Lord's table, and we participate in a ritual called the imposition of ashes. Now, traditionally, we would gather in our sanctuary, and the ministers at Greystone would put ashes on our foreheads, but this year, we're not able to do that. And so we've created an interactive service, which will take place on Zoom at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. And we'll be led through scripture and prayer and song, through liturgies of confession and assurance of pardon, a short homily, communion, and finally we'll have an opportunity to break up using breakout rooms on Zoom. We'll be paired with one another, and the congregation will really embody what it means when we say every member is a minister. And we'll have an opportunity to say those words, "From dust you were born, and to dust you will return," as we put ashes on our foreheads. We hope that this will be a meaningful experience for all of us, and so we encourage all of you to join us again on Zoom on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Also related to Ash Wednesday, tomorrow night, Monday, February the 15th, from 5 to 6 p.m., Pastor April and myself will be here to hand out Lent at Home kits for our children and also the supplies that you'll need to make those ashes for the Ash Wednesday service. So we'll give you the ashes. You'll have to mix a little bit of oil with them to make it into kind of a paste. But we're also going to give out printed worship guides for that Zoom worship experience. And so if you plan to worship with us on Wednesday night and you would like those additional supplies, please come through between 5 and 6 tomorrow night, and April and I will be here. Also, if you are a family with children, come through and pick up your Lent at Home kits. During this season of Lent, it is fairly common for people to add things to their lives. Sometimes people add exercise routines. Sometimes people take things away. They give things up for Lent. You've probably heard of people who give up chocolate or who give up junk food for Lent. Well, this year, the staff has decided that we would like to take on a commitment to self-care. We are aware that so many of us are exhausted from the last 12 months and all that has unfolded. We're exhausted from taking in-person events and turning them into Zoom gatherings, and we know that you're exhausted from staring at your screens in an attempt to make human connection. And so during the season of Lent, the staff have each made a self-care plan. We've chosen different areas of commitment that we want to focus on to care for our souls during this long season. Throughout Lent, we're going to be posting blogs about what those practices are that we are committed to, and in so doing, want to invite you to join us. Whatever it is that your soul needs, we want to encourage you to do that during this season of Lent. Maybe it's letting something go. Maybe it's attending one less meeting. Maybe it's taking something on. Maybe it's stepping outside and looking up to see the sky. Whatever it is, we want to support you, and we want you to know that we're all in this together, struggling and seeking to find Christ in one another and in our world.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace to never sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. And grace to remember the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. May God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.